As the city of Memphis prepares to release video footage of police beating Tyre Nichols to death, his family is remembering the 29-year-old father. His mother, Ravon Wells, spoke with Democracy Now! Earlier today.
He loved his son. That's why he came to Memphis in the first place, to be with his mom, build a better life for him and his son. But Memphis took my son away from me.
Five Memphis police officers have been charged with kidnapping and second-degree murder after a traffic stop earlier this month that led to Nichols' death. The city will release police body cam video of the beating later this evening. Right now, let's bring in Jason Lawrence Turner. He is Reverend of the Mississippi Boulevard Christian Church in Memphis, where the funeral will be held. He's also a member of the Black Clergy Collaborative. Reverend Turner, thank you for speaking with us during this very
difficult
time.
Jane, thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad you're with
you.
Us, sir. Thank you. Yes. I know you've spoken with the Nichols family. What should we know about who Tyre Nichols was as a man, a son, a father?
Well, those very things. I think we want to highlight the point and the reality that I haven't had a chance to meet Tyre personally, but to meet his parents, you get a sense the kind of home they've created for him and the kind of individual that he was. And they are just good people, hardworking, the salt of the earth kind of people, and don't deserve to have to live with the bereavement of having their son taken away in such a tragic way.
Yeah. Your church will host the funeral, and the Reverend Al Sharpton will give the eulogy. How do you prepare for something like that, Reverend?
Well, we prepare for it to be, on one hand, a celebration of Tyre's life. We want to make sure, in the midst of all the commotion that is happening over the past few weeks and the weeks and days that are ahead, that we don't lose sight of the fact that someone who was created in the image of God has left us in an untimely way. And so we want to make sure we celebrate his life. We want that celebration to be one that will give a sense of hope and also will be, in a sense, a call for justice, not just in this case, and in this instance, but also for the reforms to happen across police and in this country. And so we're preparing for it by hopefully making it an encouraging and healing space for the family, but for all who attend and the nation that will be tuned in.
Yeah. I understand you have not seen the police video of the beating yet, but you have spoken with the Memphis police chief and other officials in the city. Can you tell us how those conversations have gone?
They have tried to share as much as they can without compromising their investigation and tried to convey to us how horrific the visuals of this beating are, to really lean into the fact that this was an instance that lacked basic humanity, where they lost sight of the fact that this was a human being who was a father, who was someone's son. And so what they've shared at that time, we'll be able to see visuals later this evening. And I'm deeply concerned about it, not just for how we as a community will have to endure it, but as well, you think again about this family who has to deal with the reality of the nation and the world seeing how their son was so tragically taken away.
The officers in this case have been fired from the police department and charged with serious crimes. Is the community satisfied with the way the police are handling this? What's your sense in Memphis?
Well, I think it's important to note that I think, yes, the community initially is satisfied that they were terminated as swift as they were and that charges have been brought. But I think the community is adept to know that justice is a destination. And we've been traveling this road for quite a while that has led to some police reforms, some changes in who's leading our police department and as well who's in the DA's office. But we also know that this moment is one that we will have to continue to work towards not just a set of reforms, but a reformation in policing in this country, and in particularly Memphis, Tennessee.
The Nichols family is calling for the public to remain calm as the police prepare to release the video later tonight. Some are also concerned about the potential for additional violence from the police as well. Do you worry, Reverend, about what will happen in the days that follow the release of that video?
It does give me a sense of concern, but I think we, as a city and collectively as a nation, we've endured too much violence. We've endured too much hatred. And so I would hate that to see a response to this unjust death and killing. I would hate for it to be for our city and for our nation to explode into violence. It's time for us to move towards a posture of seeking equity and justice, and most of all, healing. To keep the cycle of violence and hatred from going on in our country.
So that posture of healing, what do the people of Memphis need to hear right now to that point, and from whom?
I would be careful to give direction to whom might say it. But what I've known about the city of Memphis, it is a resilient city, and our resiliency comes from our faith. And I think in this moment, people need to be reminded of our faith and be energized by our hope that our present circumstances won't always be like this, that if we continue to work together, collaborate together, partner with each other towards working towards a more just and equitable society, eventually we will arrive at that destination of justice. And so I hope people will get a sense that their voices have been heard, that action is going to be taken, but also we collectively have a responsibility to be engaged in this process to create the kind of community that we all want to live in.
For some members of the community, this has been a hard thing to process because all five of the officers were Black. The journalist Wesley Lowry, who worked on a database of violence by the police at the Washington Post, says it's not statistically surprising that a Black officer was on the scene of the George Floyd murder, for example. But still, I wonder, Reverend, if you've been grappling with this.
I think you can't look at this situation and not consider it. However, I think as we look at the conversation about police brutality, I'm thinking back over the past 32 years, we've allowed race to dominate it. And it's not whether the officers are Black or white. We have to deal with the pathology and a certain culture within policing that has normalized brutality and violence as a way of engaging with the public. And so I would hope in this moment where all of the officers were Black, that we can clearly see that this is beyond race. There is a culture that has to be dismantled.
Memphis is, of course, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. This city has experienced so much trauma and grief for many years. I have about 30 seconds, Reverend. Does the history of Memphis in the fight for civil rights in America have anything to teach us in this moment?
I believe it does. I think Memphis can show the world, not just from its history, but in this moment, that if we continue to remain engaged in the struggle towards liberation and justice for all, that we will overcome. And so our city teaches, I believe, the nation and the world a lesson, not to give up, but to continue to strive towards the goal of the common good of all people.
Thank you for your words of faith and hope on this day. That's Reverend Jason Lawrence Turner of the Mississippi Boulevard Christian Church in Memphis. Reverend, thank you.
Thank you.